You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
My name is Mike Ufferman. I work with the Ministry of Zion's Hope here in Winter Garden, and I'm happy to have this opportunity to share God's Word with you. This is actually my fourth part in this series, talking about basically twin books of the Bible. Twins of a different covenant, though. One is the Old Covenant and one is the New Covenant. And so we've already looked at a couple of sessions regarding the one in the Old Covenant. That's the book of Malachi. Malachi was the last book of the Bible that we see in terms of the way it's laid out in Scripture. It's the last book before the first coming of Jesus Christ. That first coming clearly seen in the book of Matthew and, of course, Mark, Luke, and John. And so then I had asked myself a number of years ago now, is there the similar book in the New Testament to where it's the last book before, well, the first coming was Malachi and Matthew. Is there a book before the second coming, which is going to certainly be the book of Revelation, clearly? And so is there a book just before that that might have a message that we should pay attention to? And it turns out that the book of Jude is exactly that. It's identical in terms of content to the book of Malachi. Only thing is that Malachi was addressing those who were the priests in that day. Originally, God intended Israel to be the kingdom of priests. However, because of their rebellion and their rejection of that plan, God instead said to Moses, bring your brother Aaron, and Aaron will be the priestly line from that point on. And so from the tribe of Levi, now the line of Aaron becomes that priestly line. And so that's what Malachi was addressing. And he was asking, will I find any of you righteous when I come back? Which we know that Jesus didn't really find any that were righteous, or very, very few as far as those who were the priesthood. And we end up with him turning over the tables of the money changers, and he pronounces many, many woes upon them in the book of Matthew in chapter 23. And then he says that things are not going to be good, that they're going to end up crucifying their own Messiah, which, of course, we know would be Jesus. And he's not going to celebrate a Lord's Supper until a future day, which we would say is probably that wedding supper of the Lamb. But here we look in the book of Jude then, which is where we're moving to now. And we see clearly in Jude verse 1 that Jude is, first of all, we know that he's servant of Christ. He's also the brother of James. And we find other passages where we can see that James is actually the brother of Jesus. So Jude is the servant of his brother Jesus. And he's also the brother of James and a couple of other brothers as well that he had in there, all from Mary. And so as we look in this passage, then we see that these people that he's addressing are those that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. So sanctified, cleansed, washed, redeemed. How did that happen? Because they are preserved in Jesus Christ. Their faith was upon Jesus Christ, and they've been called into the family of God as a result of that. And so Jude is addressing believers. Well, it turns out that the believers are the priesthood of this day, just the same as Malachi was addressing the priesthood of his day, originally intended to be all of the nation of Israel, but now it's just that priesthood through the line of Aaron. And now we have then Jude addressing the priesthood of our day, and we know that after the day of Pentecost, that the Spirit of God entered all of those who had faith and trusted in Christ, who are those who are redeemed by the Lord. And those that were loved, as we found in the book of Revelation chapter 1, that were loved by Christ in verse 5, and then washed away our sins. And that in verse 6, Revelation 1 verse 6, that he made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. And so God, through Jude, just like Malachi, is addressing the priests. Malachi addressing the priests of his day, Jude addressing the priests of our day. That's the believer, that's you, and that's me. Those of us that have been sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, And then he says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. And so, so what was then the purpose of the book of Jude? We saw in the book of Malachi, there was a warning that was given to the priests. And is that message the same here as we look at this book of Jude? We pick up in Jude verse 3, it says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, so again, the salvation through Jesus Christ being preserved by God, he goes on and he says, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. And so now this priesthood, you and me, are being told that we should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. So that message of old in New Testament times, we'll call them, that message of old from Old Testament times, it talked about a Messiah who was coming. In New Testament times, which John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Messiah, in New Testament times of Jesus that talked about there's a salvation that only can come through Jesus, and in other passages of Scripture throughout that we see that were given to the saints at all the various churches, you know, we've got Corinthians and we've got Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and just all of these different churches that were being written to, there was a faith that was a message of faith that was delivered to all of them. And then in Jude, he's saying that we should earnestly contend for that faith. And I think that that doesn't mean that we should just know that we have it, but that we should continue to grasp hold of it. Certainly continue to deliver that message, as it says here, delivered unto the saints. We should continue that message and that delivery. And I would suggest to you that that's why America is facing today's challenges. Whether you want to talk about the politics, whether you want to talk about the elections, whether you want to talk about who the presidential candidates are, who you want to talk about if, you know, those that are running for government office, whether they're in the House or the Senate or their local, we've lost an adherence to the faith that is contended for by those who are in political office as well. Certainly those of us that are in our homes, we should be contending for the faith and spreading the gospel message too. But I would say that that's one of the major problems that the United States has. So then we have a conflict because of not contending for the faith, or this warning to the church, to those who are believers. There's a warning that talks about certain men that crept into the church unawares in the days of Jude, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. These are ungodly men. They're turning the grace of our God. So not only the mercy, but God working in you to contend, okay, God working in you to spread that gospel message. They were turning the grace of God, this thing that was given to them to be able to witness, given to them to be able to spread his message, they were turning it into lasciviousness. In other words, they were taking permission that God had given to live their life fully and understanding that they would have God's grace working on them, in their behalf or on their behalf, but also should they sin, they also had mercy. They were using that as a license for lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So they were not recognizing the salvation that they had or they could have had. Instead, they were turning away. And like in Romans chapter 6, it says there in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, should we choose daily to sin and say, well, you see, because we sin, that means that God's grace is much more powerful for him to be able to bring us into the kingdom of God. Well, verse 2 says, God forbid. So certainly we should be walking in some form of righteousness, which was what Malachi was saying. Will I find righteousness when I come? Well, will Christ find righteousness when he comes the second time? Granted, we sin. We can ask forgiveness for that sin. We need to still be contending for the faith. Are we still witnessing to people? Are we still trying to live according to the way that we know that God has written in our heart that we should live? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We are dead to sin because Christ was crucified and we've been crucified with him. And he rose from the dead. One day we too will raise from the dead. But a dead man does not suffer from sinfulness in the sense that we are forced to sin, because dead bodies don't sin. Dead people don't sin if we are alive to Christ. Verse 4 says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained, okay, ungodly men, the grace of our God, converting it into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, that message of old to the priest that despised God's name. We see it also being here mentioned in the book of Jude, those that have turned away from God's name. In verse 5 in Jude, it says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, in other words, I'm going to remind you how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the point being here that God gives a common blessing to everybody. It rains on the whole world. It rains where it's supposed to rain. People have all the things that they're supposed to have commonly across the board. They have life, in other words. However, not everybody is adopted into his family. Not everybody is a child of God. We can turn to Matthew chapter 5 for an example there. In verse 44, it says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father. So just some examples how we should contend for the faith, to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and on, how we should do that so that we might be living examples as we are the children of your Father, exemplifying him which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. In other words, he has a common blessing for everybody, but we should be living on his behalf. And he says, I will therefore, back in Jude, verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people, all those people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. So though we may all have a common blessing, we will not all have the same outcome. Those of us that are trying to live on behalf of the Lord and exemplify him, in spite of our sin, we will be saved. Remain saved in his care because of his grace and his mercy. But those that reject him, that turn away from him, those will be destroyed that believe not. And verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate. So keep in mind, the angels had a special place, but some of them left that special place where he hath, and so left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So those that left their original estate and their original habitation, their original purpose under God's creation, those that decided to launch out on their own and not pay attention to what God said, he's reserved them for a judgment day, a great judgment day. And we know that if we go back into the book of Genesis, we can see where it talks about the sons of God and the daughters of men. And it talks about the things that they did in those days and how that there were children that were born by the sons of God through the daughters of men. And they became mighty men, these children that were born to them. And the main point being in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So the outcome there was that they had turned away from God. They had left their original estate. And we can get into a whole nother discussion about who those sons of God were and the daughters of men were. But whatever the circumstance was in those days, that they were wicked people, imagining wickedness in every thought of their heart, evil continually. And that's when then the Lord said that he repented, that he had made man on earth and grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. And that was the cause then of the flood that we commonly call Noah's flood. Only one thing being that in verse 8 of that passage, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so Noah continued to do good on behalf of those around him, continued to worship the Lord, continued to keep his faith in God. And so because of that, Noah, his wife, his three sons and daughters-in-law were those people that were saved in the ark that God had Noah build. So again, back in Jude then, these angels which had not kept their first estate, he reserved for everlasting chains. And then we talk about, again, that's a moral, that's an immorality, if you will, between these angels who did not keep their first estate. And then regarding immorality, the next verse in verse 7 talks about Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh and set forth for an example. So these are certainly not the examples on behalf of God. They're going to suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. they've turned away from God. Though they would have known God, they could have known God, they turned away from God, and they will suffer as a result of that. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. And so those things that would be considered to be good, they speak evil of, and those things that are evil, they speak good of. Sounds a lot like today's society. Let me jump down to verse 10, because it kind of continues there, and he says, but these, those that speak wrongly, speak evil of those things which they know not. And so they're not speaking the word of God. They've rejected the word of God. So the things that they're saying are not of the word of God. They are not speaking on behalf of God. But what they know naturally as brute beasts in those things which they corrupt themselves. So this is coming from the abundance of their heart, which is not the abundance that God provides, but solely the abundance that Satan provides. And it says, woe to them, for they've gone in the way of Cain. We know that Cain had a bad way in the Old Testament. He eventually killed his own brother Abel. And likewise, these people have run greedily after the arrow of Balaam for reward. And you can go study Balaam, B-A-L-A-A-M, in the Old Testament, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. And so Malachi, verse 1, talks about, ye offered polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And then God says, in that ye say that the table of the Lord is contemptible. So they were bringing things to the table of the Lord that should not have been brought. And it talks about how they were offering a blind animal for sacrifice. They were offering the lame and the sick, and they knew that they were bringing it to God, and yet they still chose to bring those things that were not honorable to God. And so that was in Malachi speaking to the priests of that day. And so in that day, he says, I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Malachi in 1 verse 12 says, ye say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. So when we look at the book of Jude, a similar type of a message in verse 12, it says, these are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. So they're not fearing their relationship with God. They're stuffing their faces. They're not sharing it. This is one of the things the Lord talks about regarding the Lord's Supper, that these people are coming for a party at the Lord's Supper instead of honoring and worshiping God and putting those who had need first. But these people are stuffing and feeding their faces, just like they would have been doing in that Old Testament time of Malachi. And it says, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit wherewith without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. If you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, then you are not the priesthood of God today. In other words, you will be suffering these consequences, especially if you're in a church and you're just acting like the priests were in those days of old. In verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, this is a future day, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them. Yes, convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds. And so if you think that you're hiding it from God, you're not. If you think that one day you'll be able to just kind of slide into the kingdom of God, you won't. Okay, God will reveal that, and certainly in that day when that judgment comes by these who are allowed to execute judgment, you'll be spoken of regarding your ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 3 and verse 13 talks about, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. We, through faith in Christ, will not be those who will be judged by those saints that are coming, those 10,000 of saints that are coming. We will be found to have had our sin paid for and redeemed by our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes with all of his saints. And again, Malachi in chapter 2, verse 1, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. Well, just likewise, the book of Jude is for those of us that are of the priesthood, those of us who have been redeemed. And so in the Malachi day, it says, I will send even a curse upon you. I will curse your blessings. I've cursed them already because ye do not lay it to heart. In the book of Jude, talking about how they're going to execute judgment upon all the saints in verse 15 to convince all that are ungodly and them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Malachi, the book of Jude, tracking virtually identically in their message. Verse 16 in Jude, these are murmurers, complainers, walkers after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. So because they have excess, because they are wealthy, they're speaking down upon men. The only reason these other people admire them is because they have advantage. They have leverage. They have power. They have wealth. In Malachi, in chapter 2, verse 7, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law in his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. That's the purpose of the priesthood, to be able to convey that message, to be able to be a testimony, to be able to move that message forward, to be a testimony to those who are around. And so not to be those that are speaking against God, like we saw in Jude in verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles and of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last days. We must not be mockers. Those who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. And so Jude is warning the church, be careful about what's coming in, because there are men that have snuck in unawares. And 2 Peter in chapter 3 and verse 3, it talks about that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. And those people are going to be saying, so when is God going to come? You know, where is the promise of his coming? And they do this ignorantly, as we saw earlier. Ignorantly, they're not speaking the word of God. They're speaking against God. And by the word of the God of heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. In other words, the words that God spoke in the past, we know that they've come true, and they will also come true one day in the future, whereby the world that was then being overflowed with water perished. So just the same as God saw what was going on in the hearts of men at that time of Noah, he said, I'm going to cause this flood, and he did so. This is 2 Peter in chapter 3 reminding us, just because you don't see something happening today, don't mock God, because those things that he said will happen will. 2 Peter 3, 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment, just like those people of old are being held for the day of judgment. Those angelic beings are held for a day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So those angelic beings and ungodly men will be judged at that same time. Again, Galatians in chapter 6, in verse 7, talking about the same topic about God, says that God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And so we've got to press on. Those of us that are people of faith, those of us that have accepted Christ as our Savior, have been indwelled by our Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, we must not grow tired. We must continue to minister. We must continue to do those deeds that are pleasing to God. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And so people set themselves aside being sensual, and those are those that do not have the Spirit of God. Well, does God change? Malachi said, no, he doesn't. Malachi 3, verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. And Jude, verse 20 says, but ye, beloved, so now talking to the believers, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. So if you strayed at all, make sure to come back, come and be strong in your faith, praying to the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and he will forgive your sin as long as you remain in him. And in verse 22, and of some have compassion. So now as you witness to some, there are those that need to be saved. Okay, there are those that need to hear the word of God. And so have compassion on them. Don't just reject them because they're the unbelieving. Make a difference, it says. Verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And you know some of those people. I've known of those people who clearly would have been condemned to hell, but for the testimony that I was able to give them through my work, through the work of the Lord and other people as well. We see that these people have come to faith. And they've told me 35 years later, believe it or not, 35 years later, I've heard of people that I witnessed to when I was a young man. And they've told me it's because of your testimony and that of other people that they got saved. And so praise the Lord for that. And then likewise for me too. That's how I ended up saved as well. And so finally in Malachi in chapter 3, it says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. So these are that are the believers in the day of Malachi. Some of them might have been priests, but also among the citizenry. Okay, these are those that feared the Lord spake often to one another, and the Lord heard them, and he made a book of remembrance that was written before him for them that feared the Lord. And we likewise should fear the Lord, knowing that we shouldn't fear Satan. He can't do anything to us other than maybe kill us. But God is the one that can take our soul and throw it into the recesses of hell because of our rejection of him. Or he can take our soul and place it into his kingdom and into heaven. And it says that those that are in the book of remembrance, again in Malachi 3:17, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And that day I will make up my jewels and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And so it moves on in Malachi 4 and verse 1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. The day that cometh shall burn them up, is what it says there. And it says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked. And then finally, in the book of Jude, we finish this up now in verse 24 and 25. And here it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. So unto you that are written in that book of remembrance, unto you that are in that book of faith, into the Lamb's book of life, he's able to keep you from falling. He extends his grace to you. He works in you to continue to do those things that are honoring and glorifying to him, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. When you stand before the Lord, you will be faultless. Though you have committed sin in your life, that sin will be erased in your book of deeds. First, your name will be found in the book of remembrance. That will be found in the Lamb's book of life. And then in the books of deeds that God has, where he's written down everything that you've done, all of those good deeds that you've done on behalf of the kingdom, those things will be written there. All of those things that would be those things of sin that you've committed, that lasciviousness and all of those other things that maybe you committed that God brought you back from, those things will be erased with the blood of the Lamb. And so you will be faultless before his presence. And you'll be certainly there with exceeding joy, as it says here in verse 24. And Jude 1:25, then it says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So again, my whole purpose in this four-part study was the book of Malachi is the last book to the priesthood before the first coming of Christ. And what did Christ find? He found a priesthood that was decayed. It was putrid. And many of them had turned away and did not recognize who Christ was. Those were the ones that were saying, crucify him, crucify him. Those were the ones that wanted Christ crucified. Instead, he should have been the one they recognized as their Messiah. And so that's where then I asked, is there another book like it before the second coming of Christ, which we would find in the book of Revelation? And this book of Jude is the identical message that we see in the book of Malachi. What will God find in his priesthood when he comes back? Those of us that are saved, those of us that have been washed in the blood of Christ, we are that priesthood. And so we should be about that work of leading people to faith, of, well, giving a living sacrifice of ourselves, if you will, to Christ, to God, as we walk forward in the days ahead. So we should heed the message of the book of Malachi, though that one's intended for the priesthood of that day. We should heed the message of the book of Jude, because that is definitely intended for the priesthood of today. Are you one of those priests that's honoring God today? Or are you one of those that has turned away from God? And unfortunately, when that day of judgment comes, your soul will be cast into the fire of hell. That choice is yours. You can either accept Christ today or you can reject Him. If you've already got Him, hang on to Him more tightly. If you've never accepted Him as your Savior, you need to do an about face. You need to repent of your sin. You need to come to Christ and say, I know that I'm the one that should have died on the cross, but you took my place. I know that I'm the one that should have been buried, never to come out of the grave. However, because you did come out of the grave and you took power over death, I believe that because you came out first, you are the promise that I too, having accepted you and the work of your blood on the cross on my behalf, that I too one day will come out of that grave. And we look forward to that day. Lord God, save me today. Well, thank you very much for being here, and I really do appreciate that you've dedicated some time to study. I know I go through a lot of Bible verses very quickly. Just go back, listen to it again if you need to, and pick up the text that we see, and may it be a blessing to you. May God bless you richly in every way as you seek His will in your life. And certainly I pray this in Jesus' name. Until we meet again, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.